That are on my head. Your love for me, I can't comprehend. Nothing in this world can compare to the love that we have in you. Amen. Guys, can we give them a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. And once I learn the words to the song, I'll be able to sing with them. Amen. And not mess up the words. But I thank God for the words, because, and it's something that he knows the very hair on our head. And when we go to sleep and we lose a few, he knows that number the next day. Amen. He even knows the fake number of hairs that don't belong to you. He knows them hairs too. That's the God that we serve. Amen. God is good, church. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Thank God for just who he is. And thank God for all that's going on, even in our midst. And also, we want to just solicit the church to continue to keep praying. Amen. To continue to keep praying for our bereaved and praying for our sick. Those that are sick, those that are hospital bound, those that are shut in. Amen. We want to continue to pray for them. And I want to commend the deacons, and not just the deacon evangelist, Claudia as well. Those that continue to pray on the Tuesday prayer. Amen. Deacon Cook. Thank God for him. Deacon Scott, Deacon Manning, Deacon Wright, and Deacon Jake and Deacon Norman. Amen. And Brother Willie. Can't forget him. And the women that are on the line and everybody that's on the line, that prayer is still crucial to the church and to the body of Christ. And we solicit you to come on Tuesdays to be a part of this prayer. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin reading at the 12th verse. And it reads, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may all be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they," because it gives the distinction between the world and us, because everybody groans. Everybody has this groaning. But there's a difference in groaning without Christ and groaning in Christ. And so verse 23 says, "And not only they, but we ourselves, we also groan. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but that hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth it, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to even pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself, it says it again, the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. And I don't really even have a title, but if I could give it a title, it would be The Earnest Expectation. The Earnest Expectation of the Hope We Have in Christ. The Earnest Expectation of the Hope That We Have in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you and we bless and praise your holy and your righteous name, to know that you're God alone, you're God all by yourself, and beside you there is none other. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you just have your way in this place. God, that you just remove me, even lift the burden of even trying to preach. God, that your Spirit will take control, that you will continue to just, Paul said, I'm crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. God, we know that it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Father God, I pray that you tremble my heart, oh God, to the awesomeness, to the magnitude, to the overwhelming power of your presence and your love. God, that you would just take control of this service and have your way. We pray for the atmosphere in this place, even the hearts of your people, oh God. Whatever we're going through, oh God, we just pray that you lift the burden, that you lift the weight, to know that we could come unto you, all you that labored and heavy laden, and you said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For you are weak and lowly in heart, and we shall find rest. Give us that rest. Oh God, help us, oh God. God, help us that we won't leave this place the same way we came in. But Lord, your word will speak to us, whether through conviction, whether through encouragement, whether through correction. Oh God, that your word will have free course in all of our hearts and of all of our lives. God, we love you and we bless you, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 The earnest expectation of the hope that we have in Christ. Man, and I just thank God, amen, even as the Lord dealt with our hearts on yesterday at the service that we had, and he kind of kept me in the same direction, just shifted it a little bit. And I thank God, because we see here in our text, and I'm going to tell you, our focus text will be in 23, verse 23. That's our focal text. And guess what? We didn't read quite the whole chapter, but maybe half the chapter. And I pray that we're not going to be able to preach all of this. Amen. But I pray that the Lord just has his way in this that we're preaching. I gotta find. Amen. But in this verse 23, it says, and not only they which have the first fruits, but we also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Because everybody is groaning. Everybody, whether you know it or not, has a longing. And if there's anybody that says, I don't groan for nothing, and I don't long for anything, then you're really groaning. Amen. It's like when we had these cars back in the day, these old LTDs and these Fords, right? And my uncle Al used to tell me, son, don't put Getty gas in my car. He said, because it knocks. Y'all remember the cars used to knock and ping, right? It was pinging because it had the cheap gas. But now they got something called a fuel injector. And these things are computerized. So your car could be running bad, right? But there's still a knock and a ping that's going on. You just don't know it. And a lot of times what happens, instead of the car pinging, the engine light will come on to tell you that there's something wrong with the car. And there's a deception, y'all, in this world. I'm trying to take my time today. There's a deception in this world that it's covered up. This longing that man has is covered up. There's a deception in this world to think that we can feel the longing that we have, that we can feel the burden and the weight that we have. And I'm telling you, only Jesus Christ can meet us in that place. And I want to tell y'all, whether you're saved, you have this burden. Whether you're unsaved, you really have this burden. But the difference is, Christ is the one that meets that burden. And so when he says here, right, 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, even until now. And if we back up a little bit, verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, it's waiting. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And what we see, creation is groaning, and you see that, man, on Christmas Eve, it was freezing. It was like the coldest it had been in over 30-something years, with the weather, people said. And then just a week later, it's like 63. People are playing basketball on the basketball courts with shorts on. It was in the 60s. And even creation itself is groaning, letting us know that the time is winding up and that the Lord is soon to come. And you know where I really saw, and we can, some people like, oh, that's just global warming and all that. We put these terms with stuff, and we like to call it, you know, to satisfy our conscience or whatever. Are we just blind to the fact that God is speaking? Amen. But even this young man that got hurt on the football field, and I'm telling you, when that happened, and I saw it was different. This was different. Everybody was saying, this was different. The whole stadium stopped. And I'm telling you, the whole team, even the trainers and the coaches, everybody was on the field praying for this young man on both teams. And you seen the tears in their eyes. And you seen the hopelessness in their eyes. You seen the helplessness in their eyes. And as they all began praying for this young man. And now listen, I said something yesterday, and I'm going to clarify. I believe some unsaved people that don't know the Lord, they were praying for this young man. Now, whether their prayer is heard, like our prayer, like a believer's prayer is heard, but there is a prayer that the unsaved can pray, and that's saying, God, I need you. We can't make it without you. And I saw the desperation of those, even the reporters and everybody was talking about, you know, God be with them. We, you know, we're praying for them. And I'm going to tell you that all them people don't know the Lord. But there's an innate sense in man. There's an innate sense in all of us to know that God is real, to know that there is a creator, to know that there is a ruler, to know that there's a sovereign God. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Amen. Listen, Romans chapter 1 says this. It says that for the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, right? And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Amen. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, that God has showed it unto them. And then he says, for the invisible things of from creation of the world are clearly seen. Somebody say clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in the Godhead, so they are without excuse. And guess what? Somebody text me, are you watching this? Did you see this? And this? And all the Lord was showing me is the Lord is in this. And I began to pray. And even my wife, she came downstairs. She had tears in her eyes for this young man, a man that we don't even know. But God was speaking it at that moment. And I believe he used that as an opportunity to show us who he is. Even at the astonishment of the doctors, and that was my prayer, that God let them see you in this, that regardless of the medical terms, regardless of how we like to cancel it out and deaden our conscience, amen, God, you're in this. And at the astonishment of the doctors, heal this young man that people might see you. 9 minutes they were performing CPR. And guess what, y'all? I didn't even get up to preach about this. But it's what the Lord is now laying on my heart to say, God is speaking. And he says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Listen, and there's something in all of us that we know that there is a God. And guess what? If we know that there is a God, we've got to know how to get to God. And how you get to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. Amen. There's not 10 different ways. There's not, oh, well, you can get to God your own way. No, there's one way. There's only one bridge that can take you to heaven. There's only one, and that bridge is Jesus Christ. Just over the separation of the gulf fix of a sinful man and a holy God. To bring us back in right relationship with him. And even ESPN, they were doing a telecast. Right in the middle of the telecast, and this man named Dan Orlovsky, they stopped it. And he stopped and he prayed right on national TV. And I said, God, that's it. And whether you know it or not, thank God for I had a conversation with Pastor Starlin. And we just talked about God has his people in places. Oh, God has his people in places. And it's time for the places, and the people are standing up. The Bible says, he that letteth will let until he be taken, the spirit be taken out of the way. God is still in control. He is still on the throne. But guess what? It's Jesus, y'all. He's the only way. And I thank God. I thank God for this. And even when we look at the tsunami that happened a few years back, and here creation is groaning and man is groaning and the world is groaning, but we are still blind to the fact that God is speaking. Blind to the fact that time is truly winding up.
blind to the fact that this life cannot afford us a home. Amen. And you think about all the things that man can do. We can put a man on the moon, spit the atom, create a car that can drive itself without you putting your hands on the steering wheel, and take it down south. But guess what? Guess what? Jesus said, you cannot tell it's going to be, in Matthew 16:2, you can tell that it's going to be fair weather. You can tell that the sky, because the sky is red. And then he goes, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Amen. Because those that were hearing Christ, those that were listening to Christ, did not believe. They hardened their hearts to what he was saying. And the more we ignore God's voice, right, the more our conscience is dead. And I'm telling you, never seen at a time like this where God is speaking. And the more we ignore it, and the more man ignores it, it's like our conscience is deadened. Amen. And our conscience is seared with a hot iron. But here, back in our text, when he talks about, before we go back to our text, in Ecclesiastes 3:10, Solomon said, I've seen the travail that God has burdened and laid on the hearts on us or his people. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has set eternity, that's the eternal longing in our human hearts, that no man can fathom what God has done from the beginning. And we see the delusion of the enemy to blind our eyes and to blind our minds to the things of Christ, to the things of God. And guess what, y'all? It's our prayer that God will open up our spiritual eyes, that the world will continue to see Christ. Guess what, y'all? The preachers, we have no power to save anybody. We have no... Salvation is wholly of God and wholly of grace. He's the one that saves. But guess what? Because salvation is of Christ, that don't mean we stop preaching it. That don't mean we stop telling them, well, if they're going to get saved, they'll get saved because it's meant for them to get saved. No. God has called us. Amen. He says, go into the highways, into the hedges. Let people know, amen, that I'm real. Let them know about salvation. Amen. He sent John the Baptist, the forerunner, to prepare the way of Jesus Christ. And his message was repent. Amen. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. We're called to proclaim the light, that God will work his life through us, that people will see Jesus Christ. The Bible said that God was in Christ Jesus, what? Reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing them trespasses against them. And because God was in Christ, working through Christ, reaching out to the world to pull them to himself, guess what? Christ is now in us, and he wants to work through us and pull people to himself. And whether you know or not, your life is speaking. Whether you know it or not, your life is preaching. But my question is, what is your life preaching? And what is your life speaking? Amen. God is speaking, y'all. And we've got to hear. And we got to, listen, we pray that God open up the blind eyes. The Bible says, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that lost, and whom the God of this age have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Amen. And that's the cord that we pray against. That's the spiritual witchcraft and the armies of Satan, that we pray for souls to be saved, that people will open their eyes to the Lord. Amen. And when we look back in Romans chapter 8, And we see how Romans chapter 6, Christ talked about, the Lord taught, the Paul wrote about us walking in the newness of life. And then we look at Romans chapter 7. Now, we're not going to turn here. I'm just summarizing. When we try to keep the law, we see the battle of the two natures, right? We see the flesh wrestling against the spirit, and the spirit working against the flesh, and how that these two are contrary to one another. And this is what Paul is explaining. When he tried to keep the law, when he tried to keep himself, when he tried to live himself, this flesh will eat you up, and your flesh will take over. Amen. And you look at chapter 8, and listen, and I'm sorry, y'all, we got back up now. Romans chapter 7, 24 says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can what? Deliver me from the body of this death." That's what he felt. He felt the wrestling. And somebody had the nerve to say one time, well, this is before Paul got saved. What? That don't even make good sense. A commentator said this. Amen. This was after, because you see the battle of the old nature and the new nature. Because before you get saved, you don't have the new nature. You only have the old nature. But he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body?" And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I cry that. When you think about the thoughts and the dispensation of man and the natural inclination of the sin and my thoughts that run through the mind and run through the head. Amen. And you wake up and sometimes it's these thoughts. Lord, where did that thought come from? Maybe it's just me. Sometimes you'll be praying on your knees and a thought will come out of nowhere. Where did that thought come from? It came from that old nature. It came from that old man that still wants his place back in us. That's where that thought came from. You got to rebuke that thought, Mike. Lord, and sometimes you'll be praying and praying, praying. Well, I know I got to pick up the cleaners today. And I wonder what time that guy get off. Amen. You praying and be like, oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be praying. The next thing you know, your cell phone rings. And you know good and well the Lord's saying, don't answer it. But what we do, we pick up the cell phone and we answer it. And I've done a study that sometimes, man, my phone rings when I'm praying. I don't know why that is. I can sit for an hour and not pray and watch TV. But as soon as I start to pray, here comes the phone. But then he says in 7:25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God." Amen. That means with the mind, that's with the new man. That's what that means. With the new man, I serve the law of God. But with the old man or the flesh, I serve the law of sin. And thank God for the preachers. And thank God we often say it. Who's going to win this battle? It's the one that you feed. Listen, and I thank God for the classes that we have. I thank God for the Bible study. I thank God for Claudia teaching the women. I thank God for even the Love Fellowship class. And go, yo, we need to be a part of these classes. Because we talk about the old man wrestling the new man. Amen. It's the Word of God that has to feed us. And meditation to cancel out the lie that the enemy has created. The Bible says we were born in sin and what? Shaped in iniquity. And so Reverend Williams, thank God for the class yesterday. I went back. Amen. Dealing with the things that we've gone through as children. The lies. Our parents maybe abandoned us or whatever we've gone through in the home. We were shaped. Amen. And the enemy over and over again, the things that would happen. Somebody said you was ugly. Somebody had favoritism. Somebody said you was too light, too dark, big lips, nappy hair. Right? And these things created a complex in us. Maybe you wasn't as good as an athlete as your sister or your brother or whatever. But whatever the mold was, we were shaped from the beginning. And the Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By what? Taking heed to the what? Word of God. The word of God has to cleanse that old mindset. And I'm telling y'all, when you know and you know and you know, and you get in the word and you begin to meditate on it, guess what? The word will begin to lift you and deliver you from that old lie of the devil. You're not ugly. You're not fat. Oh, Lord Jesus. You're just big boned. Amen. Amen. And listen, don't get me wrong. Amen. If you feel like, listen, I know I put my vest on yesterday. I'm about to get in trouble. I put my vest on yesterday, and man, that thing was telling on me. Because I know the weight that I need to be. I need to lose about 8 pounds. But guess what? We don't need all the stuff and the gimmick and the gizmos that all these diet commercials and all this stuff. Just do a few jumping jacks. Amen. But guess what? I know I'm not supposed to be 200 pounds. Maybe it's good for me to be about 215. But guess what? Because God don't want me losing 40 pounds. He created me to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. Amen. In all your nappy hair. And all your big lips, little lips, or whatever you are, don't get me wrong, we ought to look our best. But don't believe the devil's lie. Don't believe Cosmopolitan. Don't believe Jet and Ebony and all these things where they look for beautiful people, what they say is beautiful people. You are beautiful. You are loved. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. Young ladies, this word of God, we train up our children in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will know who they are. That's what this word of God does. And I heard it in Minister Tobin's prayer over and over and over again, talking about validation. Why does my voice get like this? Amen. Validation. We've got to be validated. That old disposition has to be replaced with the new nature. Amen. 1 John talks about who we are now. What's the verse it talks about? Does not yet appear what we're going to be. 1 John 3, let's turn there real quick. Amen. Y'all can tell. Amen. 1 John 3, 2. It says, beloved. Yes. Listen, beloved. First of all, let's back up to 3. Behold, what manner of love is this? That the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then he said, beloved. Somebody say, beloved.
Beloved.
Turn to your neighbor and say, beloved.
Beloved.
Amen. Ooh, that made me feel good when somebody say, beloved.
Yeah.
Man, they said, when we're validated in Christ, Julius knew that I was walking. Just dealing with some stuff, he said, my son. My son, that's the validation that you belong. You don't need the devil stuff. But he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear. It don't say later are we the son. It don't say tomorrow you'll be the son. But it says now. Right now. I may not look like it. And I may not feel like it. But I'm glad I am the son. No moving power. And talk of victory. Right now I am a son of God. Amen. Somebody say now. You're a son right now. You are a daughter right now. You are a girl right now. You are a beautiful man. You're a beautiful man. soul cries out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We belong. Somebody say, I belong. I break the spirit of the devil, his tricks, his lies, his rebuke, even setting us up about our children from the time they come out the womb. But reverse the curse through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now are we. It doeth not yet appear what we're going to be, but we shall going to be like him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even is what? Pure. So when we go back to our text, amen, and we look at this verse 14, Romans 8, 14. I'm going to be wrapping this up. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery again. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father. Amen. Amen. And the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. So guess what? When we're saved, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is what? And that which was born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Meaning that we're born from up above. And guess what? Jesus Christ could not wait to go away. He could not wait to go back to the Father, that he could live his life in us and through us. Yeah. Amen. He could not wait. He said, it's expedient for me to go away. Because if I go not away, the what? The Comforter cannot come. John 14, 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray, and the Father, he shall give you another comforter means another like myself. We've got the Holy Ghost living in us. We've got the Holy Ghost that brings us into the adoption of sonship. Listen, and that adoption doesn't mean that you don't look like, you know, adopted child don't have the genetics of the real parents, of the adopted parents. It don't look like, no matter what we say, you look like your father. If that's not the real father, you're not going to look like him. You, now, if you hang around him long enough, you may start to act like him. And you see, that's what's missing in America. Belonging is missing in daughters. Belonging is missing in young men. And I'm telling you, I don't care how many programs we put on the streets of Philadelphia. I don't care how many after-school programs. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. It's a spiritual problem in Philadelphia with our young black men. Because fatherlessness, us as fathers have shirked our responsibilities to the sons. And that curse won't be broken until we get back to the place as fathers that God has called us to be. I know I'm right about it. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen. And when he says that we're adopted, that we are the children of God, and if heirs, then if children, then heirs. Back in our text. Of God and join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. And so listen, I got a few quick points and then we're going to be wrapping this up. When it says in 8:15 that we receive the spirit of adoption, that's belonging. That's, listen, 1 Peter 1:4 says, whereby we are given exceeding great and precious promises. that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. And I'm telling you, God confirmed what he wanted spoke today. Because Minister Tolbert said it in his prayer. I can't make this up. What he said is he's conforming us to look like Jesus Christ. You can't look like nobody unless you have their seed in you. Amen. And it's the Father that gives the seed to the Son. That Son looks like his Father. And guess what? God conforms us to look like his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And what does that say in Romans 8:29? Right? For whom he did foreknow, to them he also did predestinate it that we should be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. That's our purpose, y'all. So when we talk about 2 Peter 1:4, when we talk about we're made partakers of the divine nature, that's the first point. We're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Amen? Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And back in our text, it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with us. With our spirit, that we are children. So it's the Spirit that brings belonging. So not only are we partakers of the divine nature, write that down, but it's the Spirit that brings belonging. It brings belonging, true belonging. A belonging that God got you. He won't let you go. Man, John 10, I'm sorry, I'm flipping that bed. Look, y'all should be used to a flipping church. I'm sorry. Somebody say by now. I didn't get all these verses down on the paper. But guess what? Because sometimes you don't know where you're going. Guess what? John 10, amen, says 27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Yeah. He got the whole world in his hands. And guess what? That's security, y'all. Guess what? Once you're in fellowship, once you're saved, for real, can't nobody take you out of his hands. I can see if he said it was in my hands, or Reverend Williams' hands, or Lauren's hands. But no, you're in the hands of God. And no matter, even when the floods come in, and the water shall rise up, guess what? And the rivers shall overflow, guess what? God got you. Even the children of Israel, back when they went into bondage, amen, under Babylon, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of prosperity and plans of peace and the thoughts that I have toward you and bring to you expected in. Guess what? He got you. You're not got by your power, but you're got by his power. Paul says, I want to apprehend to that which I've apprehended after me. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of a suffering, even to be made what? Conformable to his very death. So when he apprehends, he's already got me. But the question I have is, does he got you? Do you got him? He's got you, and you got him. When you're in fellowship, when you're in bliss, and you're in love, can't nobody shake you. Can't no bills, no sickness, not even death itself, throw you out of the hands of God. So listen, we're partakers in his divine nature. Number two, we're partakers in his suffering. Amen. Amen. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. If heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. If so be that that we suffer with him. We're going to also be glorified together with him. And I'm telling you, we don't know when we're not in this word of God and we're not loved. Suffering comes and we get so bent out of shape. We call our mama. We call our job. We even go to the world and people that ain't saved and talk about our problems. Just look at Jesus. Just get lost in his love. Paul said there was a thorn, amen, that came, amen, to buffet me. And I prayed 3 times that this thing might be moved, might be moved. But you know what God said? Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient. I don't care what you're going through. You can be on your deathbed. His grace is sufficient for you to meet you in a place. And it's this groaning, this Abba Father, this longing that he got you and will pluck you out of his hands. It's that lets you know. Amen. Well, first of all, 1 Peter 4:12. So not only partakers of his divine nature, but partakers in suffering. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, he calls you loved again. Think it not strange. Somebody say, think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing has, what? Happened to you. But it says, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for his name, somebody say happy. Happy are you for the spirit of the glory of God. It rests upon you. His glory rests on you. Jesus Christ learned obedience through the things that we're suffering. And I heard the preacher on New Year's, I believe, said if you ain't suffering, something's wrong. If you're just going through life and you never suffer, you never go through, you need to find out if you're saved or not. Amen. Because we suffer. Don't get me wrong. There's a suffering for self. But then there's a suffering for righteousness' sake. Amen. I've learned how to live holy. I've learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer. Man, these young people back here just looking at me like, because when I suffer, when I go through, in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, in the fellowship, there's fellowship in his suffering, that we may be conformed to his very death. And y'all know what happens? Guess what? He don't always move the suffering. But he turns up his love. My grace is sufficient. And you look at his love. You look at the fact that he died for you. You look at the fact of what he gave up to love you and save you. You look at how they plucked out his beard. You look how they took him from judgment to judgment. How they ridiculed him. How they mocked him. And how they hung him up on that cross. And the Father turned his back on the Son. Because it pleased the Father to bruise his Son. That he might make his soul an offering for sin. Amen. So we're partakers of his divine nature. We're partakers of his suffering. Amen. And the last one I have is, we're partakers in anticipation. Partakers in anticipation. Amen. Back to our text. For verse 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we talk about, I reckon that this suffering is not worthy to be compared, when we go before God, y'all listen. Paul was encouraging these believers. He was encouraging them. Now, don't get me wrong. He was preaching to them to tell them, listen, the law, we're dead to the law. Walk in the spirit, that you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he was encouraging them even in their suffering. He was encouraging them even in their going through. And he's letting us know, when we get to glory, stacked up in the presence of a holy, all-powerful, omnipotent, and omniscient God, and the backdrop of eternity, the moment we get in God's presence, we're going to stand there and we're going to be like, are you kidding me? All the stuff that I was going through, it's not worthy. That means you can't even put it on the scale. When we get to glory, these are going to be light afflictions and light pains and light burdens and all these things. And that's why I thank God for 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 4, verse 7, says, for we have this treasure, where? An earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not in distress, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Somebody say, always. Always, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that death works in us, but life in somebody else. And we, having that same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Amen. And then it goes down and say, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundancy of grace might abound through the thanksgiving and abound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, guess what, church? The inward man is renewed day by day. I don't know about you, but when I go through suffering, and I go through stuff, and I go through heartache, whether people talk about you or whatever, it's like when I come out on the other side, I'm better than when it was when I went in. And that's why I thank God for Jacob. He said, I could see the breaking of day. We didn't see it then, but I see it now. And I'm telling you, when you have a journal and you can look back over your life to see where God has brought you from, when you can look back and say, God, you got me through it before, when you can look back even losing a loved one and you can see only one footprint in the sand, and how God kept you, how God rocked you, and how that you can look back and see how God grew you and conform you further to the image of his son. At last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, the thing that I was going through, the thorn that I was going through, the suffering that I was going through, and the burdens all the way, it was there by faith. In my word and in my closet, where it's like his arms came up. It reached me and it hugged me and it rocked me. When we look at this love, that it will blow your mind to know Jesus, Mary's little baby, the lily of my valley, my bright and my morning star. I will never stop praising him. I will never stop giving him the glory. The Bible says, lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is that King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is. He's a keeper. He's a sustainer. Even my mother, and how God kept us, even after the loss of my father, he will rock you. He will
will hold you. He will lift you up. Turn your back. Place your feet close on the ground. I'll never know why. I'll never know why. I'll never know why. Oh, but I'm so glad. So glad. So glad that he loved me. Amen. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Listen, 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 listen. Paul saw this. He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in my infirmities. And we get upset because somebody looked at us wrong. Or somebody didn't speak to us. Are you kidding me? So what? This love of Jesus Christ has to overwhelm you and consume you. And listen, if y'all don't listen, y'all need to go back on the Zoom cast of Reverend Williams from yesterday. We get hung up and stuck in the mud over something that happened in the past. Because we're not in this word. We have a surface knowledge of this word. We've got to be broken to this word of God. And I know it says what can wash away my sins. But you know what can wash away your past? And the memory of it? The word of God. That it can root and deal with the doldrums of your heart. The things that you've buried under lock and key. Something that happened. God needs to deal with it. And it's the meditation of this word of God. Last verse. The last verse. We talk about partakers in anticipation. The groaning that we have. Right? Back in our text in verse 21. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage. That's the millennial kingdom. Listen, the creation is waiting. It's waiting. It's longing and groaning for the return of Christ. Right? And we know that if the whole creation groaneth and travaileth for the coming of Christ, guess what? And not only the creation and they, but we ourselves, we also groan. We groan. We groan. But the difference in our groan is we have the first fruits of the Spirit. That means we have the Holy Spirit. That's the first installment of the glory, the deposit. That's the spiritual engagement ring. Guess what? You got a ring. Everybody got a ring. Look at my ring. Amen. That's the seal, the deposit. If God got you in the deposit, that's a fact. He's coming back. Amen. If the undertaker don't come first, the overtaker gonna get you. But verse 23, he says, and not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Somebody say, waiting. Waiting. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When this earthen vessel of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house. Not made by hand. These bodies can't afford us a home. But more importantly, that groan is for the longing and the belonging and then the transformation of our bodies. Man, I fell asleep in my chair last night. Probably about 12, 1. And I got up. Man, all of a sudden, there was a pain in my leg. I said, man, where'd that come from? You know you're getting older. I'm not going to say old. That when you hurt something or you get sore or stiff or something happened, you don't even know. You can't. You got to think about what you did yesterday. Sometimes I've done stuff 2 days ago and then thinking, man, and the pain came back. I'm like, what was I doing? And he'd be like, oh, I was moving them stacks of potatoes for my wife in the food pantry. Listen, that's the longing of our bodies. That are burdened because of sin, because of what happened, and creation groans. But thank God, there's an anticipation of the Spirit that waits and enters for this expected end. As we stand, that we'll say, goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. goodbye pleasure of sin. You think about Reverend Ballard, Reverend Wright, grandmother, Courtney, mom, so many more, my father, mother's mother, Bussy, amen. Oh, listen, all those that have gone on, we'll be in the great collaboration, Reverend Ballard used to call it. And I used to hear my father say, if this is my last time here, and y'all don't know nothing else, to be absent from this body is to be present for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. We're going to see Jesus. Every day will be Sunday, and the Sabbath will have no end. Over there, where the wicked are going to cease from trouble, and the weary will be at rest. Hey man, I'm going. I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to go. Amen. But I got news for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't go. You won't be there. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? You need to give your life to him. And if there's somebody here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you can come right now. Amen. Is there one? Is there one that would like to rededicate their life? You can also come. Or join the church. You can also come.